Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Wealthability for CPAs show. Better clients, better practice, better life. Here's Tom Wheelwright.
Welcome to the Wealthability show for CPAs, where we're always discovering how to build better clients, a better practice, and a better life. Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, your host, founder, and CEO of the Wealthability Network. So 2 years into COVID, 5 major tax law changes, and motivation for ourselves, our employees, our clients has become a bigger and bigger issue. So today we're all going to learn how to get motivated and how to motivate each other. And we have absolutely the expert in the motivational field, Ayelet Fishbach. And Dr. Fishbach, we are so, so pleased to have you on the Wealthability Show for CPAs.
Tom, thank you so much for having me. Excited to talk about motivation.
So if you will, just give us a little of your background and why you spend so much time in the field of motivation.
So I'm a social psychologist. I'm a professor at the University of Chicago at the Booth School of Business. I was also the president of the Society for the Science of Motivation, and I'm the author of Get It Done, my new book on how to stay motivated. What got me to study motivation? Gosh, that was many years ago. I was pursuing a dissertation, a PhD dissertation on self-control by the end of the previous century, and then got interested in motivation more broadly defined. So beyond self-control, like how does people get themselves to do what they need to do? How do you get other people to do what other people want to do? And have been doing most of my work while I've been at the University of Chicago here at Booth.
Well, so thank you for this. Thanks for doing all this study, because you just hit it at the right time. I think we're finding in our profession, I'm finding a lot of people, close friends of mine, relatives that are in the CPA profession that are saying, you know what, I just don't know how much longer I want to do this. It's gotten harder and harder. We have an IRS who doesn't answer the phone. They don't respond. They put a lot more pressure on the CPAs and at the same time expect more from the CPAs. We've been essential workers, though not in the healthcare business, but on the front line financially for the last 2 years. And frankly, a lot of us are just tired. And so when you consider that, and of course you consider that employees also, you know, we used to have this 3 months of we pushed hard, right? You know, February, March, and April, and we pushed really hard. And then we got to take some time off, and we've had literally no time off in 2 years. So let's start right there. Let's hit it hard. How do you keep people motivated who are normally self-motivated, but now are just tired?
Yes, people are tired now, and you know they have a good reason, right? It has been a while. It has been hard. At the moment, you mentioned several of the reasons why people are tired. I would add one that we are also short on people. Okay, there are fewer people doing their jobs, right? And so not very motivating. Part of what keeps people motivated or unmotivated is not so much where they are now, but what they see when they look to the future, okay? It's like where people feel that they are going. And in a way, what makes it hard for many people at the moment is that we don't quite see the change. Okay, like it's hard now, and I don't quite see how next week it's going to be different, or next month. And this is interesting, because we might think that our motivation is a function of just the present, what's going on, but it's often a function of what we anticipate will happen. Like we find that people are more impatient when they feel that just like things are not moving quickly enough, that they are not getting where they already thought that they are going to be with their lives, with the state of the world, with the state of the pandemic, and so on. And to that, one tactic is to look back and think about the progress that we have made. Okay, so the entire industry just had this huge shift in how we work. Okay, 2 years ago, we made some progress. We learned some. Okay, and so when we look at the target, it's not quite clear when is this going to happen. It's a moving target. It's very hard. But when we look back at what we have achieved, how much we have adjusted, what we can do now that we wish we could tell that the person that we were 2 years ago, do it this way, that helps people stay motivated.
So actually, so what I'm hearing is actually celebrating how far we've come in the last 2 years is important. A lot of CPAs, for example, I mean, we're all working from home, right? I mean, yeah. Doing podcasts on Zoom is like standard now. We don't come in, you know, we don't come into a studio anymore. And so I love this idea of celebrating actually what we've achieved. I think that's so I get that. So there's step number one, is actually realize that, look, you really have done some things, so that maybe, you know, 2 years down the road, we can accomplish even more. So if that's step number one, and say, let's celebrate, let's make sure we realize what we have achieved, what would be step number two?
Well, then I would say, let me actually step out of steps, because it's not a process that has several steps that fit everyone. It's how to motivate yourself, how to motivate your employees is very much depending on your situation, okay, and your personality. And so I'm a bit hesitant to say, like, you should all follow these five steps. You should understand what you could do, and then think about what's the missing ingredient in your organization, okay, why people are not living up to the potential there. And so then what I offer in my work is a framework that has four elements. Okay. One is setting the goal. Okay. Another one is monitoring the progress toward that goal. A third one is managing everything else that is going on. So managing multiple goals. And the fourth one is social support. Okay. Doing it with other people that understand you, that are helpful, and so on. We started with a second element. We started with how to monitor progress, because the way you described the situation, you were reflecting on this feeling where it is just getting harder and harder, and I don't see where this ends. Okay, and I was saying, well, if you look back, you will see that it actually got easier. Okay, what is harder is that you've been doing it for a while, so you're tired, but like, the everyday is easier now compared with a year ago for many of us. Let's think about setting the goal. Okay, like what's the goal that you set for yourself, for the people around you at work?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, it's first of the year, so we're talking about goals anyway, right? We have tax season coming up for CPAs, and we have an IRS that said they're not even going to start for a while. They're only, even our calls, they only answer 10% of. So then the question is, all right, so what's a right goal? So what types of goals do you set? How do you be realistic about your goals, but at the same time have something that you're reaching for?
So you're already pointing out something that is important. Okay, the goal needs to be in this sweet spot between realistic and motivating. Okay? Like if you expect too much, you will get discouraged. If you expect too little, well, you'll meet your goal, but really, why did you set it? You were going to get it anyways. And so, like, think about goal as challenging. I often think about this as something like 80% chance that you'll achieve it, or that you will achieve it every day. Okay. So you think that you will do that much work every day. That's your goal. On 80% of the days, you will actually get there. That means that you are challenging yourself. You did not set something that is too easy or impossible. In research, we find that the two extremes don't work. Do goals work better than do not goals? So many of us have the right intuition that we should think about what we need to do, what we need not to do. But some people set do not goals. And the problem with do not goals, with avoidance goals, is that there is no stamina there. Like it feels very urgent. Okay, I tell you that to think about something that you should not do, and you feel that you should not do it immediately. Okay, but it's hard to stick with it for a while. Like the classic research asks people not to think about something. So don't think about white bears, okay, or don't think about your ex, or don't think about something that the food that you want to eat. Immediately, people think about white bears, their ex, and the food that they should not eat, right? So do goals, approach goals, work better. Think about incentives. So goals that have the right incentives in place. Okay. So not too many incentives.
Can I ask you about that? Yeah. So let's talk about incentives, because that's actually, I found that to be an issue over my career, establishing the wrong incentives and what the incentives do. So sometimes it's, I find that, there's team incentives, there's personal incentives, there's financial incentives, there's accomplishment incentives. How do you actually break that down and determine what's a good incentive?
Yeah, the problem with incentives, and I'm curious about your experience, but often they don't incentivize the right thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so one problem is that you've just put the incentive on the wrong place. In my book, I tell the story of the people of Hanoi at the beginning of the 20th century. The French colonials there set a bounty program that paid residents of Hanoi for killing rats. Okay, basically, you need to bring the dead rat's tail to get 1 cent. Sounds reasonable. Okay, many rats were killed in the process of getting the money. The problem is that how do you get the dead rat? Well, first you need to have a live rat. And so what the smart, you're laughing. Okay, what the smart residents of Hanoi did was
to raise rats.
Exactly, right? You raise rats, you have dead rats, you can claim your money. At work, we often incentivize the wrong thing, and then we see the wrong behavior, okay? We incentivize not the quality, but the quantity of the work. And so we get a lot of quantity, but it's low quality, okay? Someone did a lot of work, but you have no use for that work. Another problem with incentives that is often we get confused about why we do the thing. And so I give the example of overspeeding. Okay. Like if you don't overspeed because you don't want to get a fine, you might forget that the reason why you should drive carefully is to stay alive. Okay. Like that in a way that the incentive system kind of messed up your understanding for why you obey the law. You obey the law because it's supposed to be a selfish act of protecting your health. You just misunderstood that because the incentive is there. And so, students might feel that if no one is watching them, then they can copy on the exam and not study. But really, the incentives are there to help them study because they need to know. I can talk more about incentives, but I would say incentives need to be smart.
So let's talk a little bit. I mean, I've had some failed incentives. Okay. So for example, one of the issues we have in our profession is we tend to incentivize hours input as opposed to output. It's actually a fairly sizable challenge in the professional services industry, legal, accounting, engineering, et cetera. If you bill by the hour, your incentive is to spend more hours. And to have people work more hours, where what we, in my mind, what we ought to be incentivizing is let's get the work done, let's get it done more effectively. And we don't do that by incentivizing the number of hours or even how you know, how much we can bill for those hours, but rather we focus, change our focus from inputs to outputs. Can you just address that just briefly, that difference in focus?
We often incentivize what's easy to measure. Right? And the reason that we pay people by the hour is that it is the easiest thing to measure, or at least it used to be the easiest thing to measure, right? Right now, actually, we have a pretty good tools that can measure how much work you've done in these hours. Like I can actually measure how many lines you've written, right? Like how many reports you worked on. But it's still, we are stuck in like, it's the easiest thing is to measure the amount of time and not anything else. If we are trying to get a better system, then we need to think about how do we measure the quality of the work? Okay. Can I measure the number of mistakes? Okay. Is there an easy way to see how serious are these mistakes so that I get some measure of quality? Beyond that, how much the person did when they were sitting there. So you know how you sit in front of your email and after 2 hours, you feel very productive, but really all you did was answering emails and they are going to come back to you, you know, as soon as you hit the, so you did nothing, right? How do we better monitor the output, okay, and getting people feedback and incentivize that.
And of course, one of our challenges is if we charge by the hour, then we actually create an incentive for us to work more hours, but we also create a disincentive for the client to actually ask us questions. So one of the things that we're looking at is how do we go to something more like a flat, you know, a flat monthly fee? How do we do something that is really more about, all right, we're trying to do this and we want to accomplish this. And if we do that, that's how we get paid. So it's more for what we accomplish as to how many hours we put in. So it seems to me like part of what you're saying is if our incentive, you know, we want to incentivize the right thing, which includes not just production from our standpoint, but from the client's standpoint. What do we want the client to do and how do we want to motivate the client?
So let me use the example of gym membership. Okay, what you are describing sounds similar to a gym that would have the system where I pay for every minute that I spend there. Okay, which basically makes me want to exercise as little as possible because if I stay for another 5 minutes, that will cost me more. What gyms do? Well, they make you pay an annual fee. And now the more you exercise, actually, the better for you, right? Like you get more value for your money. So maybe the incentive system should be revised such that I pay you for the annual performance. And now I want to ask the questions because this is like spending another 5 minutes at the gym.
Exactly. I love that. So thank you for that. So let's talk a little bit more about, if we can, motivate employees, because one of the challenges we have, of course, like not just the owners that are tired, the employees are tired, lots of uncertainty, as you say, which creates lots of stress. So let's say you know you have to get work done in the next 3 months. How do you motivate people to just get it done? What are some of your ideas for setting the goals and getting people motivated where they don't just throw up their hands and say, I'm just not going to do the work?
Yeah. So I'm trying to understand, talking to employees, what is the problem? And for many employees, the problem right now is working from home. Now, some people like it, so it really depends. Okay, for some people, they just save the commute and they have these wonderful quiet houses and they love to spend time there. For others, their house is not quiet. They are with the people that don't understand why mom or dad needs to be at work. They are away from the people that will help them do the work, from the people that even just inspire them. Okay, like when you're in the office and you see the person next to you working, that makes you want to work. There is this contagious effect of being in the environment where other people are working. And so one thing to ask our employees is how does working from home is working for them? Like, and how can we provide that, the social support that is basically the fourth ingredient in my framework that is so critical to being successful. Many employers tried at the beginning of the pandemic to try to keep the social hours, okay, to have like this, like bring your drink and let's have a social hour. Speaking to employees, they mostly hated it. It felt very unnatural to have the social hour on Zoom. But we are now 2 years into it. And so, you know, maybe we develop better ways to connect to people. How do we make sure that we have this social connection, that you see your people to the same amount that you would see them if they were in the office? You check on them, you are kind to them, you send them a note, you briefly meet. We know that Zoom meetings should be shorter than in-person meetings because people get the Zoom fatigue. So this is one thing. Helping employees with just understanding first their targets and then like progress monitoring, like how other people are doing, where do you stand, giving feedback. Many of the of these motivators, such as setting a target and monitor progress and looking back and looking forward and making social comparisons, were just happening when everybody was in the office and are not so much happening on their own right now. Okay, when I sit by my desk for 5 hours, I have no idea if I just worked more than anybody else in the office, right? Or
true.
Am I a slacker? Like, how are things for me? Okay, so we need to be much.
So I'm hearing that measurement is a very big, very, very important part of these goals, and in actually making people feel good about the goals is not just setting the right ones, but actually having a measurement process and that feedback. Am I hearing that right?
Yes. So this is what there are many, like, you know, we found, for example, that having people give advice was helping for the person who was struggling. Okay. And so this is one thing that people could try, just ask people to give advice to another person that is in a similar situation and see what people give you, often just by the act of giving the advice. Like, we had, you know, people that were unemployed giving advice to other people that are unemployed how to get a job. The result of this exercise was that the unemployed people were more motivated to apply for a job. Okay, like, just by the fact of me reflecting on how one should do this. Okay, what do I know? What information I have to share with other people? You get this boost in motivation. I can go on. There are many ways.
You know, that brings up a good point. One of the things that we've done when we set goals, but also incentives, is we tried to make them more team incentives so that helping each other is actually a positive, right? We get a positive reward for it. Now, we also, we know that when you help somebody else, you get a positive reward immediately, right? Because you feel better about yourself. Plus, we also know that the teacher is always the one learning more than the student, because when you verbalize it, you learn things that you can't learn just by listening to things. And so what my question for you is, have you looked at how do you actually put that into a system or a process so that you ensure that it actually happens in your organization?
I would start by collecting information. And maybe this is because I'm a researcher, but I start with collecting data. Okay, I start by asking people questions like, how do you feel? What makes it hard? What makes it easy? And I usually try to be very specific with the questions. Do you know your goals for whatever, the quarter, the week? Are they well-defined? How should they be improved? How's the feedback that you are getting? Do you get good feedback? Do you know what you did well? Do you know what you didn't do well? Learning from negative feedback is really hard. And so how detailed, how specific, how explanatory that feedback is. What else do you need to achieve? So how do you manage your conflicting goals at work and outside of goal, and how much you are being supported? Once you collected that information, you know where to design the intervention. Okay. If the main thing for people is that they are alone, okay, that they don't feel like there is teamwork, then this is the intervention. Okay. We need to create teams. We need to have better division of labor so that people don't simultaneously work on the same tasks. We need to have role models. Okay? And role models are usually the people that want you to be successful. Okay. They're not necessarily the people that are successful by themselves. They want you to succeed. Okay. Like I give the example of watching the Olympics last summer. I was watching the Olympics. It didn't make me want to swim or run. Okay. I was just impressed by how well they do it. Okay. But someone in my life that wants me to exercise, well, that what gets me early in the morning to do my run. Okay.
So let me kind of switch it a little bit then. Yeah. That's employees. Let's talk about motivating yourself, because you're the owner, which is lonely at the top. And it really is, because it's not like you can be, you really don't want your employees saying, well, boss, this is the way I'm going to motivate you. You're responsible for that motivation. So we have a lot of owners that are tired, and a lot of owners saying, I'm just going to retire. I'm going to give up. It's too hard. There's not enough employees. It's just that hard. So how do you, let's finish up with this. How do you recommend that somebody who owns a company actually motivates themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. Some people are switching jobs right now, and we don't necessarily think that this is bad. Okay, like it could be bad. Like it could be that we'll just have people that were lost and didn't find something that they wanted to do and just unhappy with their life. Maybe for some people, this is the right time to go and do something else, because really, maybe you lost your passion. And so I would, not argue with someone who tells me that they lost their passion and they want to do something else. But it's also possible that you're just really hard at the moment. You love your job. You're excited about doing it. You understand that you are giving a really important service to society. You're connecting to other people through your work. But at the moment, you are just very tired. And if that is the situation, then set more realistic goals. Okay, maybe you lost a few hours in a day. And so what used to be 80% achievable goal now needs to be scaled down. Maybe you have fewer employees, so you need to readjust your goals. I maybe end with the idea that fantasizing has been shown to be terrible as a motivating tool. Like having people just imagine themselves winning the awards or like the medal or, even like getting a job doesn't work. Hey, when people were put into two groups, one was imagining themselves getting a job and the other one was planning how you're going to apply for a job, the latter group did much better. Mm. And so like daydreaming about the amazing life that I had, okay, will have in the future, much less effective than actually making a plan, adjusting your goals, thinking about the actions that will get you there, and baby steps, look back one thing at a time.
I like it. It's get it done, right? It's just take action. Get it done. Don't just fantasize about it. I love it. Ailet Fishbach, thank you so much. The book is Get It Done. And where can we find out more information about your work?
Please go to my website, ailetfishbach.com, or Google my book, Get It Done. All the bookstores are selling it, and that will get you to my website, and you can find out more about my work there. So thank you so much, Tom, for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for being here. Motivation is such a big issue in our profession right now, not just because of the pandemic, but it's just compounded by COVID and the pandemic, but something that we deal with on a daily basis, no matter what. And it's great to understand that when, you know, we do have to think of what are the incentives for the clients, what are the incentives for the employees, and what are the incentives for us? And when we do focus on the right goals and the right incentives, we're always going to have better clients, a better practice, and a better life. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealthability for CPA show. Better clients, better practice, better life. To learn more, go to wealthability.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.